simple explanation. I think I'm separate from God. I just do it that way. It tends to work out better. We were in the teacher's manual last week. We were going through that section about should healing be repeated? Should help be repeated? And we had gotten down to, I'm going to read paragraph 2 again, then we kind of went through it, but I want to, it'll make paragraph 3 make a lot more sense. It says, whenever a teacher of God has tried to be a channel for healing, he succeeded. So whenever you try to be a channel for healing, you've succeeded. Should you be tempted to doubt that you've succeeded, you shouldn't repeat your previous effort. Your previous effort was already maximal because God, the Holy Spirit, so accepted your previous effort, and so use your previous effort. It says, now you have one course to follow. You must use your reason to tell yourself that you've given the problem to a God who cannot fail. You must recognize that your own uncertainty isn't love, but fear, and therefore hate. Your position has now become untenable because you are offering hate to the one you offered love, which is impossible because having offered love, only love can be received. So, let me break that down for myself. Every time we try to help somebody, we be a channel for help. That's the key. I think that's the key phrase. Every time we try to be a channel for help, he says, you succeeded. If you don't believe you succeeded in helping a person, if you don't believe that you succeeded, if you don't believe you succeeded in helping the person, the court says you should not repeat your previous effort. Because your previous effort was already maximal. If you gave it to God and you wanted to be used for a channel for healing, you were used for a channel for healing the best way you could be used for a channel for healing. So God accepted that willingness, used that willingness. He says, now you have only one course to follow. If you really try to be a channel for healing, you must let your reason tell you that you've given the problem to God. And if you've given the problem to God, you've given it to what cannot fail. So if you're still doubting after you've given it to God, then he says you should recognize that your doubt about whether or not you gave the help is really fear. And so you're no longer giving the person love, you're giving the person fear because you're giving the person doubt. If that's the case, realize that in a sense you're offering fear, but the truth is, like the Course says, if you really offer love, then only love can really be received. If you really offer the help, only help can be received. He says, so you got to trust that if you want to be a channel for healing, then you're being used as a channel for healing. If you doubt that you've succeeded, then you must recognize that you're no longer a channel for healing for that person. Now you're just a channel of fear. And so if you're just a channel for fear, you're not really offering love anymore. You're really offering fear. So if you really offered love, then love would be received and has been received. That's different. If you tried to help somebody and you doubt that you did, then you shouldn't try to help them anymore. That's different. You know, if I continue to doubt that when I tried to help you, I helped you, then I'm not really giving you love. Now I'm giving you fear. So really, I'm the one that needs to be helped because now I'm not giving love. Now I'm giving fear. And he said, you know, you should see yourself as the patient at that point. Because now you're doubting that you've given it to the part of you that cannot fail. The more I read the Course, and the more I study the Course, the more I see why it's such a challenge to our ego. It's just the opposite of everything that our ego is inclined to do constantly. Everything about it is 180 degrees opposite. That's why I think it works.
If you got in that situation, could you change your mind about what you just did and do it differently? Or would you just be, if you were helping somebody and you were doing it not out of love and you realized it?
Well, the way I try to do with the Course now is that I'm trying to accept that if I've tried to be a channel for healing, I've succeeded. And if it looks like I doubt this, then I don't repeat the previous effort. And I really feel like I don't feel like what I decide to do is really going to stop you from being helped. You know what I'm saying? It's like if the creator is going to help you regardless of whether I do it or not. I'm trying to let go of this personal sense of responsibility that I have to be everybody's caretaker and let the Holy Spirit do the healing. I'm resigning from my God, from my, you know, Godhood in that regard. So for me personally, I don't repeat the previous effort if I feel like I've really given it up. And that, what I find, if it's something for me to do, I'm still going to end up doing it, because if I'm really practicing the truth, there's still going to be something about the way I'm expressing myself that would still be helpful. The only difference is I would be looking at it like, my job is not to heal you. My job is to be myself and to be loving, and then let the Holy Spirit heal you through me, or through whoever the Holy Spirit can get through with you. Get through to you from. And that's what brought me into the awareness of my atheism when I first got into the course. Because I believe that if I didn't do it, it couldn't get done. So I realized I really wasn't trusting that I had given it to a power that cannot fail. Because I still felt like I needed to be the one that was doing it. So one of the biggest challenges with it for me was to start to really accept that there is God, that there is a God, that there is a higher power. That seems to be the ultimate. And if you did go back, if you did try to heal him again, that's cool. I mean, it's not like you're going to, you know what I'm saying? It's like even if you went back and you said, okay, I am going to try to heal him anyway, you would just be making an error. The error would be corrected. You'd still be innocent. Mm-hmm. Nothing really, you know, he's not really doing anything to be afraid of. So that's the other thing that's cool. I mean, even if you do want to do it, what we're learning is teaching us that we have a God of love. So you're not going to be attacked or punished even if you were to try to heal again. But you just be missing the point, you know, which is you have already done your best. And if you doubt that, then you need to work on your doubt, and you need to work on your own lack of faith rather than other person. But in the world, the biggest distraction that we use to keep from looking at ourselves is our focus on everybody else. So one of the greatest tricks that we play in the world is, I'm going to fix you. You know, everybody's playing it. Have you noticed that you study the course more that everybody's playing the exact same game? They're just doing it in their own flavor, but it's the exact, and you too, to some extent. Because that's what I'm seeing. It's just the same game. Everybody's doing the same thing who's not aware of who they really are. Because if you were aware of who you really were, we would be doing it differently from the people who are not aware of who they really are. So if I call myself conscious, yet I'm doing everything that everybody that's unconscious does, how in the world can I really call myself conscious? It would have to result in a behavior that would be different if I was really different. So I know people who's never picked up a spiritual book, that's unconscious as a rock, and totally separate, but they still try to fix everybody around them, think the problem's everybody else, and if they could change everybody else, everything would be okay. So just because I studied the course and I still take the same attitude, does that make me any more conscious? If I'm actually doing the exact same thing that everybody else is, believing that my job is to change something outside my own mind. So when you start practicing the truth, your ego tries to make you feel guilty and like you're uncaring because you're not doing it the way everybody else is doing it. Like if I don't try to repeat my previous effort, my ego says, well, you know, you're doing something wrong. You know, you're going to hurt this person if you don't. You need to help them. You need to repeat your previous effort. That's my old voice. And so I've got to learn how to tell the difference between my old voice and my new voice. That's the same old voice that's always told me to do that. So to go to the next level of consciousness, I'd have to actually listen to it. I'd have to actually not try to repeat my previous effort. My ego is going to try to make me feel guilty about it. It's going to try to tell me I'm doing something wrong if I don't do that. At some point, you have to recognize that your ego is a voice that you have to stop listening to. Not attack, not control, not, you know, but it's like, if I do what my ego says, no matter how many books I read, I'm still the same. And that's what you'll see. It's like people will read and they will study, but when it comes down to the physical situation when they're presented with it, they deal with the physical situation exactly the way they always have. And they think that they changed. But you haven't changed until you actually make a different choice about how you're going to express yourself in the situation.
Workbook helps in that arena.
Oh, the workbook is the workbook. Right now I'm just having a love affair with the workbook. I'm doing a lot of work with it because I know what you're saying is exactly true. If I don't get the practical application of the idea, then it's just going to be another intellectual game. and I could just stick the course on the book with the rest of the 100 books that I've read that have told me to do stuff, but I just didn't do it.
Well, if I didn't practice a workbook, I would have reacted entirely differently to Sunday morning.
Yeah.
I shared with you.
Yeah.
But because I practiced it, it was there when the situation came.
Right. And the outcome for you was a lot more peaceful than it would have been if you had to match the energy that was coming at you. For real. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I know. It's amazing. It's amazing how it works. He says, is this that the teacher of God must trust? This is what is really meant by the statement that the one responsibility of the miracle worker is to accept the atonement for himself. Our one responsibility is to accept the truth for ourselves. That's the atonement. He says, the teacher of God is a miracle worker because he gives the gifts he's received, yet he must accept them. He need do no more. There's nothing more that you can do other than accept the truth for yourself. See, that's different. But it's also the easiest solution. Are you with me on that? Can you see that? It is easier for you to accept the truth for yourself than to get anyone else to accept the truth.
Isn't that where it should start anyway?
Yes. But that's not the way the ego does it. The ego says, I got it. You don't have it. And I need to give it to you and make sure you got it. The ego is always looking as if, I don't need the truth. I remember when I used to come to truth classes, and I would always come to the class, and I would be so busy thinking about how I could apply how I could get somebody that I knew to apply what I was hearing to themselves, that I wasn't even really paying attention to what was being said. It's like, this is not for me. This is for my wife. This is for my girlfriend. This is for my brother. And so I would be sitting there, listening, going like, how can I really get that across to the class? You know, like, how can I really get this across to the class? You know, and it's like, no, how can you really get this across to Earl? You know, so... You see what I'm saying? It's like, and so, and how often are you listening to somebody talk, and what you're trying to do is formulate what your answer? You're not really listening to what they're saying. You are, as a matter of fact, you're so busy formulating your answer, or so busy not focusing on what they're saying, that you interrupt them before they even finish saying what they're saying. That's the epitome of knowing that the person isn't listening to you. Okay, and the Course says that the only reason why a person interrupts you is because what you're saying is threatening to their ego. So if what you're saying is somehow threatening their agenda, then they interrupt you before you get a chance to finish whatever it is you're getting ready to say. Which is cool to know. You know. So have you had that experience? Like being cut off before you finish saying whatever you were saying, or you cutting somebody else off for the same reason, because what they're saying to you is somehow threatening to your ego. So there's a phase, I guess, where you go through on the path where you start to practice the truth. And when you do, it's like you have to keep on focusing in on it so you won't think you're crazy. You have to keep giving yourself the truth, because when you actually apply it, there is a reaction from your world. But when you're philosophizing, you don't get a reaction from your world necessarily, you know. But it's another thing. It's like it's another thing to say, I'm gonna give you total and complete freedom in a relationship with me. Okay, it's another thing for you to go use it, because if you go use it, now I'm gonna have to apply that idea that you're really free. You see what I'm saying? Where I could theoretically say you were free all night long, all day long. But the minute I apply, or if I go, instead of thinking that my sickness is being caused by a virus, the truth is I'm sick right now because I'm angry and guilty, and that anger and guilt is being taken out of my body. And so the real reason why I'm sick is because I'm mad, or the real reason why I'm broke is because I'm mad, or the real reason. You see what I'm saying? It's like when you pry in the truth, then that's the answer you go to, and you don't. And the first thing that pops out your mouth is not about the weather. I got a cold because there was a sudden change in weather. But once you get conscious, you go, oh, I got a cold because I'm angry about something, or I'm feeling guilty about something, and I need to remember I'm innocent. Then once you tell yourself the truth. Then, for the sake of your human self, so it won't freak out, then you can tell, you can let your human self say it's because of the weather or because of a virus or whatever. Because you and your ego are not the same thing.
So let your ego, like the Bible says, render unto Caesar what's Caesar's and render unto God what's God's. Your ego belongs to the ego world. And that's what the Spirit's been telling me. Earl, you know, you really need to get, it's you don't deny the ego. And you can't deny the ego in the ego world. He says it's an unworthy form of denial to kind of deny you have a body and deny the ego in the ego world. Because this world is based on separation. And we have an identity that's born into this separate world. And that identity is totally in tune with the world's rules. And so it's the part that needs to think, you know, I need to put on a coat or I won't catch a cold. But there's another part of you that knows that you're beyond all that. And that's the part of you that the Course in Miracles is talking to. It's not talking to your human self. It's talking to the self that made it. And that's why when you study it, it doesn't make sense from the perspective of the ego. You know, it's like somebody saying, well, you're trying to say you're not supposed to correct somebody. If you see a little child running out in the street, you're not supposed to do anything because, you know, that would be correcting the child. See, that's the human level of looking at it. Of course, if you see a little child running out in the street, you're going to probably, if you can stop it, you're going to stop the child. You ain't going to stop and say, the Course said I shouldn't stop it to help the child. You know you're not going to do that. You're going to go right out there and you're going to try to help the kid. Okay, but the Course is trying to get us to see that it was God to save the child. It wasn't you to save the child. It was God to save the child. It was the child's decision to be saved. It was the child had as much to do with being saved as you did in saving the child. The child didn't want to die. The child, that soul did not want to leave. You didn't save the child. The child saved itself through you. That's where you look at it. You know what I'm saying? It's just the opposite. You might have been the instrument, but that decision was that soul. So that soul would have checked out no matter what you tried to do. You could have tried to save that child, and it would have had a heart attack from the fear of the car hitting it and dying. You know what I'm saying? If it was time for the child to go, the child's going to go. And that's another illusion that we have, is that we save people. People save themselves through us, through others. Just like you're saying to us, you know, accept the truth for yourself. That's you saving yourself. That's you making the decision to give you peace. Is this making any sense?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Any thoughts about any of it?
I keep thinking about that line that says, to have peace, you must teach peace to learn it.
Mm-hmm.
You can interchange peace with truth or a lot of other things. Have it make perfect sense too.
That's the same. That's another way of saying the same thing. To have peace, teach peace, to learn it would still be you accepting your peace, right? So it still starts with you. I still have to accept my peace. That's what I'm working on right now. It's like every time I think my peace is dependent on something outside of myself, I'm trying my darnest to catch myself right now. You know, just really just hold it. Yeah, and that's not saying I might not ask this person or situation to do it differently. But I still want to remember that my peace isn't based on them doing it differently. You see, that's the difference. So it doesn't mean that I'm going to be allow myself to be walked all over at all. You know, I can tell you very firmly, stop. That doesn't work for me. Don't do that anymore. And that doesn't mean that because I'm saying that I don't believe I created the situation that I'm talking to you about. You know what I mean? It's like, yeah, I'm creating this, and I need to tell you right now that you don't need to do that.
What if there was a situation where you have to, when someone's like breaking the boundary, and you're creating it, yes, I get that, but you have to say, hey, you know, for the sake of peace, I'm going to have to part from you.
I think that person ought to bake you a cake. I think that's the most loving thing you can do, is separate from somebody that you're not going to treat lovingly. I think one of the biggest errors that we make is that we constantly mistreat each other and stay with each other to mistreat each other when we don't want to change.
Whether they're family or not, right?
Especially if they're family. Sometimes family is the first one because we got the heaviest scripts with families. We got the heaviest scripts with our families. We got the most people, you know, your family tend to remember you the way that they saw you when you lived with them. Even if you stopped living with them when you were 18 years old like I did. You know what I'm saying? It's like whatever that fixed vision they're getting you from this. Because when you really think about it, in most cases, you know, most of us left our families, except for the Days generation. most of our families a long time. It trips me out, you know, how many people in there, you know, very old, still living with their families now. But I mean, I couldn't wait to get out on my own. That used to be kind of popular when I was growing up, is that you wanted to get out on your own. It seems like it's different now. But
counting down the days to your 18.
Yeah. It's like you said, it amazes me now. Yeah, it amazes me now. I mean, people. But sometimes it's an economic reason, I'm sure, for doing it. Yeah. When I was 19, when I was 20, I was married in my own apartment and, you know, holding down a job, you know, taking care of my family. You know, it went real good. Everything about my experience was pretty smooth until I got into the truth. And when I got into
right behind you.
And what I mean by that is that's when I really, really realized what I really valued. And I really realized that a lot of the stuff that I was doing was not a representation of who I really was, but who I thought I ought to be based on what I was programmed to be. If that makes any sense. It's like I had just been a good little boy that followed the script. And if you follow the script, everybody's pretty much pleased with you. You know, so it's so relatively. But I knew there was something missing, but I didn't quite know what it was. Because it wasn't like I was suffering. I had a good job. I had a beautiful wife. I had a nice kid. I had all the stuff. I had the American dream. You know, I used to call back in the 70s, I was the first black. Back then, you know, you was the first black to do this, and the first black, you know, I was the first black, you know, one of the first blacks to telephone power install repairman in Tennessee, you know, because at that time, you know, that was very unusual. And then I was the first supervisor, and you know, so they was moving, I was moving up the corporate ladder, and all that whole thing. It was like something right out of a storybook, but there was something missing inside of me. And that hole didn't begin to be filled until I discovered the truth. And when I discovered the truth, it turned my whole world upside down. But it felt more satisfying to my soul than all the things that I had been doing that looked real good from the outside. But my partner was wanted to stay asleep. You know, just like in the Matrix. If y'all saw the movie Matrix, some people want to stay with the dream. And I wouldn't blame them if reality is the way the Matrix depicted it. So I could totally understand you want to stay in the dream rather than being in this tanker that was being chased by a whole bunch of little creatures with tentacles. Now, come on, you know. But see, mechanical ones. But that's the way the Course says that the ego does. It says the ego always adds untruth to the truth to make reality seem undesirable. And so people think what's real is where the pain is at. And the fantasy is where the pleasure is at. See, we got it exactly reversed. We think this, you know, the life is hard, so I need a fantasy. And the Course says we got it flipped. That reality, where we really came from, is completely fulfilling. And it's the fantasy that we're having of being separate and being bodies that is where we're experiencing the pain. That the pain is coming from us being in so much unreality. You know, so we're actually in unreality, dreaming of more unreality. But the thing that we're dreaming of, that state that we're dreaming of being so beautiful, we think of it as a dream, but the Course says now that's reality. You know, like that love that you're dreaming about, that experience of total peace and harmony and oneness that we want. So yeah, that's not the fantasy. That's reality. That's the way reality is, that we have it exactly flipped.
I agree with that, but where I run into problems is interaction with other people who haven't quite reached that.
That's because you're not applying the truth to them. You know that if you really tune into your higher self could tell you how to deal with each one of those individuals in a way that would be the most peaceful for you in that circumstance. So at some level, we would have to still be going to our own wisdom instead of really checking in, you know, because I'm in the same world that everybody else is in, but I very rarely ever conflict with anybody. I'm not outside of the world. I'm in the world, but I just started applying what the Course said. I stopped feeling like it was my job to correct. And when I felt like attacking somebody, I would be quiet. And if somebody was going off, I let them express themselves totally and completely and say, hey, how can we join in peace? And if it was a person that just wanted to stay in their position of conflict, then I would separate. If you know, it's like I would make goal my I would make my goal peace in every situation, and then if I screwed up or if it looked like it didn't go the way I wanted to, well, so what? I'm learning. I'm not going to always do it perfect at the level of the world. It's not going. Everybody's not going to always respond. But I think that if I'm running into a lot of people that are opposing me, then I have to ask myself, how am I opposing everybody? And then Spirit said to me, well, the way you're opposing everybody, which is why you're getting all this opposition, is that you see yourself as being different from the person that you're talking to. I said, what? Yeah, you see yourself as opposite to them, and so they're seeing you as opposite to them. And so therefore they're not joining with you because you don't see yourself as the same. So as long as you see yourself as different, higher, lower, more aware, less aware, then you're going to continue to create situations where it looks like you're surrounded by people who are not following your directions, listening to you, or opposing you in some way.
Well, the Course says we learn by teaching, but it also tells us that we have no responsibility for teaching anybody else.
But don't you know that the definition of insanity is to continue to do the same thing over and over again and expect a different result?
No, I haven't read the book.
No, I'm saying, you know what I'm saying? If the bottom line is, like I said earlier, if the bottom line is your approach is exactly the same approach you've always used, then you really are not changing. No matter how many ways I come to the conclusion that that's good to do, if I do the same thing and I keep getting the same result, I need to do something different. And as long as I think that the other person needs to make the change, that I'm going to keep on doing the same thing that I've been doing that doesn't work. And so that's okay too, because you're going to reach your limit, because the Course says that pain has a limit. So it's not like we're going to keep on doing what doesn't work forever. We won't. We don't even have to worry about it.
We might die first.
Yeah, and you'll come back. Yeah, we've seen enough people die dumb no matter. So, you know, being old is no guarantee that because you get old, you're going to get wiser. We've all seen it, right? So, yeah, I believe you can do it wrong till the day you die. Yeah, but I don't think you die. So I think you get a chance to keep on doing it over and over again until you get it. And that takes a lot of pressure off me, too. You know, it's like, hey, you know, they're going to get it. You know, the same God that's guiding me, why do I think God would give Earl this special insight into the truth, but God isn't going to also give it to everybody else? Why do I have an inside track that you wouldn't have? So part of my trust is to trust that you have guidance and I have guidance. And you have the Holy Spirit and I have the Holy Spirit. And if I want to give my problems to the Holy Spirit, I have to give your problems to the Holy Spirit. You know, why did I should give mine to God but solve yours? It make more sense if I was going to solve anybody's to solve mine. Right? So again, you know, I see everybody around me say they want to go to God. They want to go to a higher power. They want to pray, okay, for their problems. But then they'll turn right around and feel like it's their job to fix or solve your problem. But if they really wanted to reinforce their belief in God, then they would use you as an opportunity to practice the same rule on you as they're practicing on themselves, to make me get it quicker. That's what I'm doing with the Course. Now, it's like, instead of me saying, like, I'm going to give it to the Holy Spirit, I'll say, you know, I know she has the power to give it to the Holy Spirit. I create my own reality. He's creating his own reality. See, what I'm doing is I'm reversing the projection the way I used to do it. Only now I'm empowering people. Because I'm kind of used to applying it to myself. But what I'm finding now is that to apply the truth to somebody else is even more powerful. Like I'll say I'm responsible for what's happening to me right now. Sometimes it freaks people out because whatever happens to me, like I said, came in and said, okay, I created my car being broken into. Now, we said that very, you know, we took that very plainly. A lot of people would think that would sound like the most insane statement that you could ever make, is that you were the one who chose to have your car broken into. Okay? But that works for me. Okay, and so what I'll say now is that if it was you, I'd say you chose to have your car broken into. Now, I wouldn't tell you that you chose to have your car broken into, but I would tell myself you chose to have your car broken into. And then while I was talking to you, I would try to reassure you that you're safe right now and everything is all right right now. The Course says what you want to do is you want to assure people that they're safe right now rather than get into a conversation about how you created that. isn't it great? You know, you're safe right now. Everything's all right right now. You know, that's going to be all right. You can probably get the stuff replaced. You know, whatever you say to comfort the person. But, you know, I'm not going to say to the person, you created that. Unless I want it to be separate from the person. Unless I wanted to attack the person. Unless it was the person that I really wanted to get. Like, you know, if I didn't like you, then I say something like, you created that. If I had a little bit of a little vicious streak in me, then I would tell you, you created that. So when someone says that to you, that's not loving. You're in the middle of pain and you're in a deep sense of loss, and somebody walk up to you and say, well, why did you create that? So when someone says that to me, I say, okay, thank you for showing me how much of a friend you really are, because that's why you said that. You said that at my request at some level, but you said that to kind of get me. You know, because you know you wouldn't want to hear the same thing if you were in a lot of pain. What you want is an answer to your call for love. What you want is some compassion. Right? You know, like my mother was dying in the hospital, very ill. And when I walk in, I would say stuff like, you know, hey, let's see if we can really join on the idea of your health today and you feeling a whole lot better. Guess what she said?
Probably, I don't want to get better.
Mm-hmm. The average person's not going to say that. The average person's going to say they want to get better. It's very rare that you'll talk to a person that's sick and they say they want to stay sick. Have you met many people in your life that ever said they wanted to stay sick? Really, we don't. We really don't. What she said was, yeah, I really want to join you in that. But if I had walked in there saying, well, my mother, did you know that you're not a body and that you created this and that you created everything that's happening to you right now?
Get out.
She just got sicker.
Right, she would have just got sicker. She would, thank you. Yeah, she would have felt guilty on top of...
She would have made herself right.
Yeah. And she would have made herself right. She would have wanted to defend the fact that she didn't create it. Right, and if she had accepted that idea, she would have tried to make herself feel guilty. She probably would have done blame instead of responsibility. She would have blamed herself, and then she wouldn't have felt good about herself. You know, so the course tells us how to handle people who don't know. It says we did that a couple of weeks ago. It's what it said. You know, you're supposed to represent the alternative in your mind. Ask the question. You know, behold you, son of life. You know, behold you, son of God. What life could offer you? If the person is ready to change, they're on a conscious path. By conscious, I mean they know they're the one that need to change their mind. Then you're supposed to just rejoice with them. You're not supposed to fix them. If you say, you know, I really want to get that, I'm the creator of my experience. And maybe you're not as good at that as I am, then I'm just still just supposed to be happy for you. It's still not my job to fix you and make you like me. What you do is you say, I'm available. If there's any way I can help you, if you want to, you say, hey, feel free to ask me anything you want to know that I can help you with, I'll ask you. I'm there for you. So I'm happy for you to want to wake up, Tanika. You know, if Tanika thought she was a total victim, then I would do like I do 90% of the people, and like how all the masters do us. The higher masters, they don't force their thoughts on us. I've never had a master appear in my living room and say, Earl, you better get your act together right now. You better, you know, you need to start thinking this way. I notice whatever's greater than me is mighty darn quiet. Is it, you know what I'm saying? So I'm like taking a hint from that. I notice God isn't exactly, you know, scouting through a bullhorn here, you know. So I said, okay, maybe the way the higher powers are dealing with me, it's the same way I'm supposed to deal with the people I'm around, which is they deal with me silently. Maybe I'm supposed to deal with the people around me silently, and if there's something for me to do, I'll be told. And then I'll do it. But I won't be attached to the outcome, and that's how I know it's not my ego, because even if the person doesn't do it, I'll still be okay about that.
Well, I know if God doesn't tell you to shut up, your wife will.
Indefinitely. Right. You know, and that might be God telling you to shut up. You know what I'm saying? It could be God speaking right directly to you. And, you know, sometimes we miss the obvious. You know, like if a person tell me, don't say that to me, it could just mean, don't say that to them. I don't really need to go through a whole big psychoanalysis behind that. You know what I'm saying? It's like, that was a direct communication. Please don't talk to me about that. Now, I could go, why don't you want me to talk to you about that? And you really ought to let me talk to you about that. You really need to hear that. You know, but the person's already said, don't talk to me about that. So they're not receiving you. Now, keep talking about it maybe because you need to hear it. But if you could understand you just saying what you need to hear, then that's okay. But as far as them hearing it, they probably checked out on you. They're probably nowhere. They probably not even, you know, you just flapping your gums because nobody's home.
More often than you know.
Mm. But you got to admit at some point you must love it. You know, there's got to be a part of you that loves it. There's got to be a part of you that needs it. It's got to be fulfilling some kind of a need.
Well, because it comes back to teaching is learning. So even if you're faced with someone who is not receptive for us, shut you down, and you have a need to continue for yourself, like you just said, mm-hmm. that's okay.
Mm-hmm.
It may not be about them anymore. It may just be about you.
Well, according to this, it's definitely about you. Mm-hmm. You know, so, but the way you would know if you were really doing that was you would no longer be attached, though, to how they're reacting either. That's how you know you're really looking at it that way. Like, oh, okay, now I'm saying this because I need to hear it. Well, how do I know that I'm doing that? Well, because even if they don't want to hear it, I'm not going to get mad at them about it.
Mm-hmm.
You know. I remember one time I had a person that that felt separate from me. So how new? And it was so funny because I hadn't done anything. And it's okay to say you haven't done anything. You know, sometimes people forget that too. They forget that just because a person accuses you of something doesn't mean you've done it. And sometimes we'll apologize to people for things we haven't done that they are mad at us about that they made up in their mind that we've done. Are you with me with that? And we walk up to them and we say, I'm so sorry for what I did to upset you. And the truth is, you didn't do anything to upset me. I upset myself because I made up something in my mind about what you've done. And you follow what I'm saying? Okay, so if a person is playing that kind of a game with me, then I'm not going to reinforce their belief in projection by acting like I'm guilty. So I'm not going to act like I did something to you, even if you think I did something to you. And I'm not going to apologize to you just because you think I did something to you.
Or my favorite is mm-hmm. Somebody coming up to you and saying, whatever I did, I'm sorry.
Yeah, whatever I did. And that's for a lot of people. That's what they want to hear. But what people don't know is that when you do that, you didn't really help that person. You really reinforced their belief that they can project on other people and they can get a result from that. So all you did was created where the next time they were going to be even more stubborn about staying on their position until you gave in again. You know what I'm saying? So what happened, if a person, and I'll say to the person, you know, first of all, I tell people in a minute, this is a trick. That's the way I usually try to start it off. We've probably been getting really, really close, and usually that's when something goes wrong is after you've been really, really close. Okay? So I say, you know, this is really a trick. This is a trick to separate us because we got too close. And we can, if we want to, not be fooled by this and still choose to have peace with each other. You know, I'm willing to listen to what you say, and if it really is some truth in it for me, and I can choose to bring about peace, I'll do that. But the most important thing we need to do is realize that this is just a trick to separate us because we were getting so close. And then if you're conscious, you'll go, you're right. That's all it is. That really ain't about nothing. Let's move on into the next thing. Let's go to the movie. Let's go hang out. Let's go watch a TV show. Man, you know, I have a holy relationship that I've had for 20 years. And that's the way, and we lived together for 17 years until I moved up here. And we're still totally tight. And the thing that's always been so interesting, but we both, I got in the Course in Miracles 1 week, and I turned her on to it the next week. And so we started planning the Course in Miracles to our relationship from the very beginning. The point that I'm making is that we would do that. Sometimes the ego would try to come up, all of a sudden we would realize right in the middle of, hey, you know something? This is a trick. Or we would say something like, you know, I'm misperceiving right now. I'm finna go for a walk. I'm finna go for a drive. Or I'm finna go back in the bedroom and do some reading. I'll be back when I'm sane. And when I'm sane, either it'll be over or we can really communicate because we'll both be coming from a sane place. I mean, we applied the course to our relationship. You know, and I had two children. She had a child. So when people talk all that stuff about if you got children and if you got a job and if you're out in the real world, like, I'm sorry. You know, I've dealt with every single one of those things that you're talking about, you know, and I know the truth works if you apply it. But I've also watched people for 25 years, And you can pretty much count the people who actually applied on one hand. Now, there are so many philosophers. I mean, there's no end to the people who study the truth who can philosophize about it. I mean, it's just tons. There's no end to them. They fill up seminar after seminar, class after class. But when you actually watch them in their own personal life and watch how they apply it to their situation, that's how you know whether or not they're true practitioners. But they always talk about somebody else. But you don't see it when, but you don't see them applying it to themselves, then they're philosophers. You know, and I saw it work over and over and over again. You know, like, hey, you know what? If it really is me making myself upset, then it's also me that can bring myself back to peace. So with the Holy Spirit, I'm going to go get this friggin' book. I'm getting ready to go to the park. Or I'm calling up my friend. And when I get back to sanity, it's not saying we're going to repress whatever is up. But when I get back to sanity, let's talk about it when we both coming from a position of sanity. And the other thing that you might want to try with people is to say to them, at the very beginning, ask them, say, do you want to join or do you want to separate? Because if you want to separate, there's nothing I'm going to say to you that's going to work. I've seen it. You know, I've been in relationships where as long as both of us wanted to be together, whatever obstacle came up between us, we could go beyond it. And then I would watch in that relationship where either one of us had decided we didn't want to be together anymore. And I saw that no matter what, we just couldn't seem to come to any kind of solution. And it was because we didn't want to be together anymore. So no solution was going to be okay. And so that in that case, you have to love yourself enough to realize you all are playing that game with each other and choose out of the relationship. Because there's nobody you can't have peace with if they really want it. And you really want it. If you really want it, you can work it out. Because, I mean, human problems and relationship problems are always script problems. They're always script problems. I don't care what anybody says. They're always script problems. I got a way that I see it that I want it to be, and you got a way you see it that you want it to be, and we're clashing on that. So it's a script problem.
How do you resolve script problems?
The way that you resolve script problems is to realize that nobody's here to act out your script. And at the same time, be willing to let the universe send to you those who want you just the way you are, and to be as peaceful as you can with the person that you're in the relationship with now. And communicate. Communicate as honestly and as openly as you possibly can, because communication ends separation. You know, it's always a communication problem anyway, according to the Course. That's all it is anyway. It's a communication problem. Would you be willing to accept that there are some people that you just have learned as much as you can from that person at the time, and you're not supposed to be together no longer?
That's a hard one for me.
But that's the one. But the Course says that's the most normal relationship. The most normal relationship is not lifelong. The most common relationship is we come together for a while, learn as much as we can, and then appear to separate from each other. It's only in our society that we beat each other over the head because you don't stay with a person forever. The truth is we're all one, so we are together forever. So that's not even the issue. There's no way you can't be with me forever. But at this level, he says it's not possible for you to be with everybody physically, right? So he says, and there will be so that there have been certain relationships that have been chosen for you, that you chose. And these are the people that you meet. So you don't meet anybody by accident. These are the relationships that you've chosen to learn through. Right? So that's why we don't meet. But how can I tell when me and you graduated? Well, if I got my hand around your throat, it's a chance we've learned as much as we can from each other this time. If all we do is argue, if all we do is fight, we never have any peace with each other. And nobody's changed. We've learned as much as we can from each other this time. And we're innocent. And you're not bad, and I'm not bad. But I'm going to love myself enough not to be in constant conflict every friggin' day of my life. There's nobody that's that important of a teacher to me that you and me going to fight every day. And I've been, and I saw my relationship get to that point where it was a constant argument. Constant argument, constant argument, constant argument. And then what happens is sooner or later, what happens is so funny, is that if you're really into the truth, but you're still dealing with that, you're going to attract somebody to you that's such a contrast to the one that you're constantly in conflict with that you're going to see how insane it is and you're going to make a change. Because if you're really serious about the truth, then the course that you learn through comparison and contrast.
Can I ask a question?
Mm-hmm, sure. That's what I love about a smaller group.
Doesn't it... It seems like guilt. You talked about it last week.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Really high on my mind.
Mm-hmm.
And people like to draw that guilt to me, like make me feel guilty.
Right.
And I'm like, I don't feel guilty. I don't feel guilty. But it's almost like people are like, yes, you have to feel guilty. I'm like, no, I don't. I don't feel guilty.
Yes, that's exactly. The course says the ego is another word for guilt. So you're right. The old thought system that you're moving out of is based on manipulation through guilt, which the Course calls anger.
Okay.
So when you start, so when you're really beginning to get it, then what you do is you find that you want to do just the opposite of what anybody that's trying to make you feel guilty wants you to do. Which is what you're saying. They want you to feel guilty so that they can control you,
right.
So that they can manipulate you. That's how they get people. That's how they get people to do what they want them to do, is through guilt and anger. And the Course calls that a special relationship. That's what the Course calls a special relationship.
And I call that a Catholic.
Okay. Yeah. Don't you see that everybody's doing it? I mean, in the ego.
But how do you? Okay. So I don't feel guilty.
Right.
And I said, no, that's her interpretation. That's not what I said.
Right.
And that's her interpretation.
Right.
I'm moving on.
Right.
Okay, but she keeps coming back.
And you have to, right, because what she's doing is testing your resolve.
She's testing
your ability to be true to yourself. And so in the beginning, when you first start to try to really seriously live the truth, you attract worthy opponents. And worthy opponents are those people who, to deal with them, you have to practice the truth. So she's challenging you to see if you're going to be choosing your innocence over and over again. And she will back off at the point that you really accept within yourself that you really are innocent. The only reason why she keeps coming back is there's some part of you that doubts your innocence. So she's witnessing back to you the part of you that's still, because, you know, we just came out of that thought system, so there's got to be a part of us that's still buying to it. You know what I'm, see what I'm saying?
Right, right.
So she's representing that part of you that still feels like you need to feel guilty.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? So the challenge is when you see your old ego thought coming up, it's like, for instance, if you're sitting in a restaurant and you used to order tuna, but now you order chicken, and so it takes a minute for the kitchen to get the new order. So they keep bringing you the tuna. But if you really want chicken, if they come out with tuna 20 times, what you gonna say?
I want chicken.
And so what happens sooner or later in the kitchen?
They'll get it.
Don't bring no more tuna out there. You see, and that's the same thing. She's going, still want the tuna guilt? Then you gonna know. And so the ego said, what you do is with. What the ego does to make an illusion seem real, the Course says, is it amplifies it. So it just, you ought to feel guilty. No, I'm not. You ought to feel guilty. No, I'm not. You ought to feel guilty. No, I don't. See, so the ego just amplifies it, hoping that it can attack you with such intensity that you will finally give in to what it's asking you to do. But if you don't give in, then the ego gets to a point that it knows it has to take another approach because this approach doesn't work. You know, and so the ego will stop doing something if it gets that approach won't work. But if it can keep on browbeating you until you do it, then you know what? Okay, I could browbeat you to level 9. Okay, you got the level 9 attack, and then you finally went, you're right, I am guilty. Okay, so the next time the ego is going to start at level 9 and see if it can go to level 12 to get you to give in this time. You see what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
It's gonna always try to amplify it until you give in. So if you know you're innocent, don't let anyone, like I was saying, that's what I was going to tell you, the situation with the person that thought they were separate, because as a teacher, I get projected on all the time. I mean, that's just part of the game. You know, people love you, they hate you, they love you, they hate you, you're okay, you're not okay, you know, so that's just, you know, so that's just, well, if you're going to be a teacher, just get ready for that, okay. So it was interesting. So I separated, right? So like, hey, look, you're innocent, I'm innocent, I didn't do nothing, you didn't do nothing, it's a trick, but if you want to, and what you're asking me to do is not acceptable to me, like the script that I was being given. I was like, you're innocent, I hope you find somebody that can do that, but that's not going to work for me. That's what I tell people. This just doesn't work for me. People seem to handle that better. This doesn't work. It doesn't sound like an out-and-out rejection. You just tell them the truth. It doesn't work, right? So if a person's mad at you and you didn't give in to their guilt trip, they get madder,
mm-hmm.
right? And then when they get mad, they usually start attacking you and talking about you behind your back, and that kind of, 'cause they want you to act out their script, right? Mm-hmm. But if you're not around them, then they don't get the satisfaction of being able to show you how displeased they are. Because they want you to see how upset they are with you.
Right.
So a lot of times when that happens, then people will say something like, well, I'm going to come back around you. Or they'll come back around you. But they're not coming back around you the way they used to be. You know, like, which would be walking up to you, giving you a big hug, whatever, it used to be cool. They're going to come back around you just so you can see that there's something up between y'all. Because they want you to join in the suffering. They want you to reinforce their belief. First of all, if you get mad and you attack them, then you are proving to them that they are right about what they said about you, which is you're really not as nice and as loving as you act like you are. So it's like, with me especially, it's like people really want to see me get mad at me. They really want me to go off. Because then if I go off, well, gee, you're supposed to be a course miracle teacher. You've been teaching course miracle. See, you still get mad. You know, they need to make you just like them. See, because the longer you're peaceful, the more you are witnessing to how wrong they are. But they need you to get mad. They need you to get angry. They actually relax. You've seen it before, where somebody was upset with you and you tried to remain, tried to stay calm, but it's like, and they kept messing with you. Then when you went off, then they were the ones saying, what's wrong with you? I don't understand. You know what I'm saying? It's like, because they got what they wanted. They wanted to see you act exactly like they say you are, unconscious, so that they could be right. So, you know, you have to learn the ego's games, and then, of course, it's refuse to play them. And that's what that's a big stage of the truth. And I'll tell you, it's a scary stage. Because it does look like people are attacking you and you're not attacking them back. It does look like they're going off on you and you're not going off on them. I think that is the scariest place on the spiritual path. I think that's like a bridge that you have to go over. That bridge where you meet attack without attack. And that's the scariest one, because the ego loves to attack. So there's a million excuses why you should attack back. Are you trying to tell me that somebody welcomes you? You hear everybody come up with all the justifications for attack, because it's scary to the ego to think that peace could accomplish as much as attack could if it's true peace.
Well, that goes back to what you were saying about the human aspect versus the other.
Right.
Because there are things that instinctively, from birth, we believe we have to do to protect ourselves as humans. We have to protect the body. We have to fight. We have to defend. We have to. All of these things are things that we were taught.
Only the strong survive.
Yeah.
Right, and that's why. And that's why you have to. But if you take it up to the next level, which is what Kors is saying, if you take it up to the next level, then those situations and circumstances that you think you have to fight about begin to fade out of your life. And that's what's so cool about it. Like a lot of the stuff that people will say, like you're saying, well, if you're human, you know, what if somebody does that? Well, okay, if you're still on that level, then you deal with it on that level the best way you can deal with it on that level, if that's the level you're on. But the book is saying there's another level, and from that level, you can get an entirely different experience. But yeah, if you're going to stay on the lower level, then yeah, y'all going to duke it out, because both of y'all the same crazy. It don't really make no difference. Both of y'all wrong. You know, you're not different at all. You know, the person that attacks is the same. The perpetrator and the victim are just alike. They're not different. They're exactly alike. But if you could go to this next level of consciousness, then you wouldn't even create a situation where somebody is even attacking you. And you certainly wouldn't perceive it as attack. And so to try to solve, in other words, the ego goes crazy when it tries to study the Course. Because the Course doesn't make any sense to the ego. And that's what the book says, I'm not really talking to your ego. I'm talking to you. I'm talking to the part of you that made it. There's a you that, where did it come from? He said, you made it. you make up your, you're the one that's making up the idea that you got to deal with things the way you were taught to deal with them as a child. You're the one that's keeping that belief going. You're the one that's keeping the idea going that you have to attack if the people attack you. Everything we were taught as children, the book says, yeah, you, maybe you were taught that. But it's you that's keeping that idea going now. You don't have to still behave the way you were programmed as a child. You just don't. But when we want to attack, then we find justification. And then that's when we say stuff like, well, you know, it's just human to do blah, 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 blah. That's the best excuse in the world for not wanting to change. You know, well, I'm human. I'm just human. Like, that's why the idea of sin is so popular. I'm a sinner. I was born in sin. I was born this way. See, that I was born this way. See how you don't have to do nothing about that? I was just born this way.
This is how I was raised.
This is how I was raised. Yeah, right. So this, making excuses to stay the way I used to be now seem like such a pathetic use of my energy when I could be taking that same energy and focusing into these ideas of power that could change my life. I don't really care whether my dad is responsible for the way I am or not. I don't even care anymore whether or not I was the one who created it or that I wasn't the one that created it. I don't care. All I care about is I want peace, and I know that that old way of attacking everybody around me and trying to fix them and trying to correct them does not work. So I'm not going to do it anymore.
So no more, this is how I am. Because I get that, too.
Yeah, well, and everybody, and that person can say, this is how I am. And then it would have been, but you know what? I said, well, this is how I am. Thank you. Oh, that's how you are? Okay, this is how I am. See, it's the same thing. Okay, you go ahead and be the way you are. I'm going to be the way I am. I don't think I'm guilty. I don't think I'm a victim. I don't think I did anything to you. I think I deserve to be happy. I don't think I have to be around people that attack me all the time. This is the way I am. I understand you, sister. I am too. You got an I am, I have an I am. But guess what? You don't have to deal with me. You're an adult. You don't have to. Earl does not have to be in your life.
Well, this all applies.
If you don't love me, if you're not going to treat me right, you don't have to be in my life. That don't mean I'm going to shoot you. That don't mean I'm going to try to stop you from doing what you want, though.
Oh, yeah.
This all applies to me very closely, because I basically wrote off my family 5 years ago because I realized that they had no place in my life. These were people I didn't want to have, I wouldn't have as friends. Why would I want them any closer? And the funny part is that I run across a lot of people who can't understand why I would choose to separate or to walk away from it.
Mm-hmm.
And it's basically what you're saying here, is everything that I was taught as a child, I see everybody in my family doing this, that, and the other thing, that just doesn't work for me.
You know, right.
A lot of poverty and a lot of drama and a lot of turmoil and a lot of that all of these other people are still living out, that I just simply chose not to be a part of it.
Which isn't the same as I hate them. I don't want to hurt them.
No, right. I walked away with it knowing that I gained everything I possibly could from these people through the process.
Right.
And simply agreed to disagree.
And I think that's a loving thing to do. See, that's the difference, you know. That's the difference, though. If you're around a conscious being and you're saying to them, I chose out of this relationship because I knew that it wasn't bringing peace to me and not bringing peace, then they would go, you know, this is loving. People who believe that love is sacrifice, then they see it as being selfish or somehow not okay. Because the Course says that most people believe love is sacrifice, which simply means if you love me, then you sacrifice your happiness and what you really want for me. You put my happiness before yours, and then you are a really loving person. And that's what goes for love in the world. So somebody who chooses not to do that is always seen as a person who don't know how to love. But that person is also the one that's having the most fun in life. Guarantee. I've been called selfish, but I haven't had more fun than most of the people that I know who think that love is sacrifice. Because they never do what they want. So they don't even know what it feels like to go through a day and do what they want to do. They literally don't know what it feels like to go out one single day and just do anything that they want to do that day. Because they get so much satisfaction out of believing that they're sacrificing for the good of everybody else. So it makes them such a great, loving person.
That's the biggest thought my family has regarding me.
Yeah.
It drives them nuts.
It drives them nuts that you would choose to do what you want to do with your life. Because it's constantly showing them that they can make the same choice. That's what you're really doing. You're showing, especially if you grew up and you're the same person in the family, you're literally showing them that there is an alternative that they haven't chosen. And that's why it upsets them. Where you would prove, you're showing them that there is another way you can be. But would you be willing to get to the next, to the point in your mind now that you are really willing to let them be the way they are?
I'm getting there.
You know what I'm saying? And could you get to the point that you would be willing to stop needing their approval of you in order for you to feel all right about what you're doing? You see what I'm saying?
That is very hard, because I just had to do it. And I didn't understand it with him, mm-hmm. because he had to let his family go, but I had to let a family member of mine go.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not as hard.
Once you see the benefits, no, yeah. It's actually.
Well, you think it's a horrible thing that you're doing, but when you see this marked increase of your peace,
yeah,
you know what I'm saying. It's like, you know, there was a person that left the church because somebody turned on the light when they normally the ones who turn on the light during the meditation. Okay,
oh, really?
But people are on these levels. It just, you think of kids, but people are on these kind of levels. They really are. They really are. I mean, 11 years coming to the church, he was through. Okay. Okay. Now, what's amazing to me is that a person like that would really think somehow or another they would really and truly be missed. But they really do. They really do. It's like the people who keep up the most hell, stir up the most stuff, they actually think that when they say stuff like, well, I'm just not going to come around. It's like somebody who come to my class and don't like it. And then, you know, sometimes I've even had people like, you know, call me and say what they thought I needed to change or do differently. And I would tell them, I'm not changing one single solitary. Now, I'm not open to what you're saying if it was something. But you can tell when somebody's giving, just sharing with you and they think that you're wrong. And they want you to change. I don't like your music, so I'm supposed to change my music because they don't like it. You know what I'm saying? And I love people like that, because I love to be the one to show them that they don't have the power that they think they have. Because somebody needs to show them that. Because you can tell a person like that is totally controlling everybody in their personal sphere.
Right.
That's why they feel so confident that they could do it to you. Because they're used to having people jump through hoops for them. And so you owe it to them to let them see that their power is an illusion. And so I love to do that. You're innocent. You're wonderful. Maybe I'm not the right teacher for you. Maybe you need to go somewhere else. You know, you're innocent, but I'm not changing the way I do. And if it doesn't work for you, then maybe I'm not the right teacher. But they're not expecting that. They want you to go, well, you know, I think I'll stop doing that because that's not something that you like. You see what I mean? So you do have to go through this stage where you stick to your guns. When it looks like the person around you is like going ballistic, in a way, really, it's the scary level. But once you go past it, man, it's so cool because you start attracting people who feel the same way you do, and they no more want to control you and manipulate you than you want to control and manipulate them. And so it's a whole different kind of a social situation that you find yourself in. It's so much easier. Like the relationships I have with people now in my personal life is so much easier, because all of them want the same thing I want. They want peace. So it's just easier. It's not as much jealousy and insecurity and possessiveness and none of that kind of stuff.
You know, the two first sentences in the second paragraph that you started out the day with,
mm-hmm.
apply to Marie's situation, and why she feels the peace now is because she tried so many times to help this person repeatedly. And basically what it says is that you shouldn't be tempted to doubt your efforts and not repeat the previous effort.
Because that was already maximal. Mm-hmm. You know, if you did the best you could do, then don't repeat it, because, you know, it's like, look, I can do anything for you other than become somebody other than who I am. Now, you know, we can work this out if I can still be me. You know, I always tell people, yeah, I'm willing to work this out if both of us win. But I am not willing to work this out if you win and I don't. But if we both do, let's sit down at the table and talk. But the ego is somebody loses, of course, and somebody wins. It's not no both win, you know.
What both of us have been through is a testament to exactly what we're talking about.
Mm-hmm.
It's true.
It's true. So I'm going to stop here at 103. I'm always amazed at how fast the time passes for me anyway. I don't know if it passes fast for anybody else in the room, but for me it passes pretty fast. So right now I'm going through just lots of changes inside and lots of changes in my physical reality, and I know the next 5 weeks are going to reveal a lot to me. And you can tell that too after a while. You absolutely know when you are in your next transition, find out what's going on, reality check cycle. Some of you all might be in that right now.
Do you know those patterns of time? Because I know that I always have something in mind, but it doesn't manifest like until like 6 months later.
The times will, it'll shorten. You know what I'm saying? It's like it's going to keep shortening. You're going to find that everything's going to start happening faster and faster and faster and faster and faster and faster. You know. So anyway, thank you for sharing. Let me pass this around. I appreciate you all so much. I'm glad you asked the questions that you asked today, because I'm having the same thing that you're having about, will I stick to my truth, regardless how anybody else is responding or reacting around me? Will I do what I really feel in my heart is right and is best for me, and not to repeat my previous effort if I've tried? And he said it to me again today. You need to accept it for yourself. That's the one you want to do. You want to accept it for yourself right now, and just take the focus off everybody else right now, Earl. Just accept it for yourself right now. Because if you change in levels, then you're going to meet people who seem like they're different. Don't get sucked off into that vacuum. Don't let them suck you off into trying to convince them that they're wrong and you're right. And that's the temptation, because they're trying to suck you off into that. So don't fall for it if the case that's happening right now. Cool. Well. That's all, folks.